Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking about Motown Maurice right down here in the state of Florida.
And we've got Motown Maurice of the Motown Maurice Show.
I want to introduce you to Motown Maurice.
We have special, special, special guest, Motown Maurice.
Motown Maurice.
Speaking of crazy, we have Motown Maurice,
a man who is trying to put Tampa on the map for late night television.
He is not the next Arsenio Hall. He is the first Motown Maurice.
For those of you who haven't had a chance to experience Motown Maurice,
you have to understand he is very persistent.
And now he has transitioned
from Tampa to Los Angeles, California.
He's now in Los Angeles.
Continuing his pursuit of the quest of a late night talk show host.
Keep an eye on Motown.
Absolutely.
Keep an eye on that gentleman. One day this man is going to be the new face of late night.
Motown, we love you.
Motown Maurice, are you on the line?
And now, your host, Motown Maurice.
Guess who's back? That's right, that's me, Motown Maurice. But you're right, I never left. I've always been here. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle. And goodness gracious, do I have a surprise, a guest for you that you're going to want to listen to. You're going to be listening to this show over and over on the archives, because not only is he a presence, he's a megastar. He has a message and a mission that he's going to share with you. Ladies and gentlemen, America watched him grow up on the Donna Reed Show as Jeff Stone from 1958 to 1966 every Thursday night on ABC. He's published over 16 books and has appeared in many film and television shows. But when he's not writing books and he's not acting, he's an advocate for working children everywhere they labor. Time magazine calls him the predatory spokesman for child actors. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my great honor to introduce to you today, Paul Peterson!
Pleasure is mine,
Peterson.
Believe me.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well this day, and you?
Oh, I am absolutely great and excited to have you on this show. What an honor. What an honor. I am bowing my head right now. Thank
well,
you.
Well, okay. Well, there's lots to talk about.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. And you know what? I've realized I want the audience to know about your past with the Donna Reed Show, but I realize whenever you're on a show, whenever you have an invitation, it's never really under the greatest circumstances, because there's always issues out there that you are fighting, and you're always fighting for children. Is that not correct?
Well, that is correct, because frankly, I think people, when they can sit down calmly and think about their past, have to recognize that we're not doing our best for kids anymore. Mm. It's suddenly a very dangerous place for children. The internet is a minefield when you're growing up. The connections we all have to each other with Twitter and Facebook and all the rest are frankly just not healthy for kids. And look at their educational system. That's collapsing.
Yes.
So it's not just kids in show business that I concern myself with. My focus is on kids who go to work. And people think, well, how many of those could there be? Well, there's about 300,000 in the entertainment and sports business. 300,000
wow.
kids. So
wow.
it's not a small population.
Yes, yes, yes. And I appreciate all that you're doing for the kids. I want the audience to truly understand, why is it that you have this conviction and is this your mission? You started this organization for kids and fighting for them. Obviously, it started with the Donna Reed Show, as you was a child actor yourself, and things led on from there, correct?
Right. Well, that is correct. Actually, I got my start in show business as one of the original Mouseketeers back in 1955. So this is a life that I actually lived. You know, I went from the Mouseketeers. In fact, I was fired from that job at 9 years old. Can you imagine that? Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Anyway, I went on to do commercials and pretty high-profile television shows like Playhouse 90 and Lux Video Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Did big movies with Cary Grant and Sophia Loren, a movie called Houseboat. And then one day I went on an interview with a pretty good reputation here in Hollywood for a job that happened to last 8 years. I became Donna Reed's son on the Donna Reed Show in the spring of 1958, and there I was for the next 8 years. Now, my friend Tony Dow, who was on Leave It to Beaver, he was Wally, he says it this way: one day you get a job, and poof, there goes your life.
Wow.
Because everything that flowed out of that experience, that 8 years, really, it's all connected. The achievement of fame, steady work, the separation from friends and family, the kind of, even as you are earning your distinction, you are missing something critical. Mm-hmm. And as I grew older and moved through the various transitions that all people go through, I found some of them were made more difficult because of early success. And the deeper I got into the history of kids in show business, the more alarmed I became.
Yes, and if I don't want to cut you off from what you're saying, but I've been in Hollywood for about a year and almost 3 months now, and one of the first things that I've realized, it's a very, very lonely business and city, you know, and I could imagine that's how you felt at any point in time.
Well, exactly, and what I discovered was shocking. And I wasn't alone. That the issues I was trying to cope with were the same for many of my friends. You know, remember you would hear this, oh, the most beautiful girl in school is alone on Saturday night, because everybody thought, oh, she must have 100 dates. And what happened is her phone never rang. And that sense of isolation and of being unique is something that high-profile kid stars kind of go through. Everybody assumes your life is wonderful, and yet in the midst of all of this, you can feel very much alone. I mean, who do you talk to?
Yeah.
And the setup for kid actors is to keep you away from your competition. Oh, you can't talk with him. You know, he may get the next job. You know, you don't give him any pointers. When the fact is, your natural friends are the kids who are doing the same thing you are.
And I can imagine they tried to restrict you as a kid, but if you see, like, a table, you want to climb up on it. If you see a ladder, you want to climb the ladder, correct?
Well, that's exactly right. And because, you know, I don't think this will surprise you. You know, a kid who gets fired at age 9 has a sort of a built-in attitude, if you will. I always fought back against the machine, and frankly, I'm doing it to this day here in my mid-60s. The setup for working kids or kids in sports or kids who are picking our crops is all screwy. I try to explain to people, imagine, Hollywood has been telling the world for years that every kid who works has a teacher present on the set, that they work limited hours, that money is set aside for them. And Motown Maurice, it's just not true. Because in 1938, the federal government passed this thing called the Fair Labor Standards Act. And this is the law that governs the way all of us employees are treated in the workplace. And there are a series of exemptions to the Fair Labor Standards Act. And one of those exemptions is that children in the entertainment business are exempt from federal child labor law. Now, that's bad enough, because they shouldn't be. The rules should be the same as they are for animals in the entertainment business.
Wow.
But here's another thing people don't realize. Children belong to their parents. Your parents actually, when you're a minor, own you. This is the law in 49 states. Now, we changed it in California, so I'm hopeful we'll get this changed. But this was the old law. Listen to this language. The parents of a working child are entitled to its custody, income, and services. That's the law. And it's true in 49 states. And people say, well, that can't be true. Children aren't slaves. I go, oh, yeah? They are chattel. In the eyes of the law, children are the property of their parents. So when kids work in any other state but California, the money they earn, even the money they earn, doesn't belong to them.
Wow. So you're bringing in like thoughts of Gary Coleman right now and the problems he had with his parents, his adopted parents spending his money.
Well, of course, but it goes back into the 30s when Jackie Coogan himself, when he sued his mother, she told the judge in open court, Your Honor, you cannot steal what already belongs to you. And she was right, and the judge had to admit it. Gary Coleman's adoptive parents said very much the same thing. And people shouldn't be deluded. Even though Gary was successful, he didn't get anything back from the people who exploited him. Mm-hmm. His payoff came from a business insurance policy that he himself had to pay for. Wow. That's how he got a settlement. You know, it was so after all those years, 9 years, $18 million. His lawyers were rich, parents were rich, manager was rich, agent was rich, and Gary was working as a security guard in the Fox Hills Mall.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Motown Maurice. I have the advocate for working children everywhere on the line, Mr. Paul Peterson. I'm going to take some calls in one moment. I do have one more question before we take some calls. So, ladies and gentlemen, please be patient. What is the most despicable situation that you have encountered? I know I've heard an interview with you and Hannity and Combs with the movie Hound Dog with Dakota Fanning, and you were just, this whole situation, you didn't like at all. So my point is, can you mention a case that you can address?
Well, the Hound Dog, the movie, is a premier example of how far away from ethical treatment of children we have come. This movie was filmed by a not very experienced writer-director in North Carolina, which has no child labor laws for entertainment. And the entire subject matter of the movie was the rape of a 10-year-old girl on camera, on camera, not hinted at, physically filmed on the soundstage, right there for everybody to see. And I kept saying to people, don't you understand, this isn't a novel. This isn't your imagination. This is the hiring of a minor to act out your sexual fantasies. Forget this First Amendment stuff. A movie is a collaborative medium. You have to hire actors. And when you do that and ask a child to play out this sick and twisted fantasy of a writer, I maintain that you are committing a felony.
Wow. Now, the consent, does the consent have any value if the parents give consent or the child gives consent? In it? Well, of course, the child is not able to, but if the parents give consent, does that have any value?
Well, I see, in my mind, no, it does not, because informed consent cannot be provided by a child. They have to be emancipated, turn 18 years old, and there's some other circumstances, joining the military, being married, etc. But a child cannot provide informed consent. And you see, this sick assumption of our society is that parents will always do what's right for children, for their own flesh and blood. Well, excuse me, has anybody ever heard of incest? Has anybody ever heard of pedophilia? Do you not understand that the greatest threat to children across the board comes from their own parents? Motel Maurice, listen, you won't believe this. 3 to 5 children are murdered by their parents every day in this country of ours. Now, people say, what are you talking about? Well, look at the FBI crime statistics. Over 1,800 children were murdered last year by their primary caregivers. This is a catastrophe. It's unprecedented. People who think that parents will always do what is right are really deluding themselves.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to take some calls right now. This is Motown Maurice. Paul Peterson is on the line, and he's speaking on behalf of children, the rights, the laws that should be changed. We're going to take a phone call from area code 562 right now. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure your questions and your comments are brief because Paul Peterson is has a schedule, and we don't have much time left on the show. So here we go, 562, you are on the line right now.
Is that me?
That's you.
Hi, Paul. This is Sunshine. Hi, Motown. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Hey, Sunshine.
I promise to be brief. My question is, it had to do with altruism. I have heard Paul speak before, and it was a serious wake up call for me. And I used to think that everybody would try to do the right thing, and sometimes they don't know any better. So it looks like that is his mission, is to school people in how to think straight and put children ahead of financial gain and all that other stuff. I still think that some people, like the guy in South Carolina or North Carolina, that promoted the rape of a 10-year-old girl, I don't know the person, Paul, and I know that you do. So my question to you is, was that a person with lack of knowledge that you schooled in now knowing better, or was, in your opinion, that somebody that just didn't really care? And how can we help to make this more widely known?
Well, first of all, you have to understand it was a woman whose previous film experience was a movie about an unmarried 15-year-old girl who gets pregnant and thinks she's having the second Jesus Christ.
Wow.
So what happens is that these filmmakers don't understand that they are actually hiring real, live people to act out their fantasy, and that there are consequences to the part you play. For example, Linda Blair in the movie The Exorcist, she is still paying for that success, because people are afraid of her. Patty McCormick in The Bad Seed, people are still afraid of her. The part you play shapes your character. And when you're young, if you're lucky, you get a part like I had with Jeff Stone, who was a kind of clean-cut, fresh-faced youngster who knew how to say please and thank you and listen to his parents. Well, that's a good kind of character. But what if I'd been hired to be, say, a teenage rebel riding his motorcycle at age 12 who hated everybody? That's another burden. And these filmmakers today seem to be not only oblivious to the impact of the character on the child, they're also oblivious to the impact on our culture. For example, the Learning Channel puts out shows like Toddlers and Tiaras. These are the infant beauty pageants.
Oh, boy.
Where the most egregious behavior is shown as if it's acceptable. And I'm walking around going, wait, don't you see what you're doing? You're making this conduct acceptable? Well, I think, sadly, the people in the film industry today do not understand the power of the medium to shape not only the lives of the people they employ, but the lives of the people who watch their product.
So can I ask then, what would you suggest that the normal everyday person who has no connection to Hollywood or just somebody that listens to the show on the internet, what they and we can do to help promote this cause of awareness that is obviously severely lacking in America?
Well, of course, we'd love people's support if they go to minorcon.org. That's our website. There are plenty of ways to donate or to write letters. But most important of all, in our culture, in our commercial culture, is to not watch this stuff, to not give your money to people who are doing manifest harm to children. If you
good
see
point.
It,
okay, well, I'm gonna get off the phone so that you guys can call. Thank you. It's great talking to you.
Nice
thank
talking
you,
to you, Sunshine.
Thank you. Finish your point. what you were saying,
no,
Mr. Peterson?
I'm trying to explain to people that we have the power to turn the darn television off, or to say to our children who want to buy that gruesome new video game, no, 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 I'm not giving you the money to watch Warcraft.
Wow. What advice right now, if you were with the parents of Kate, you know, the show Kate Plus Eight and their kids, how would you advise her and how would you mentor their children right now if you had the opportunity?
Well, if I had the opportunity, I've been saying this for 4 years, so this is nothing new. First of all, Kate Gosselin had no idea of what she was exposing her children to. Mm-hmm. And she and her husband, then husband John, did not take the time to become informed and educated as to the steps they could take to make the experience as good as it could be. It was never going to be perfect, mm-hmm. because it's not natural for a child to become famous on a television show. It's not natural. It turns the world upside down. Children need secrets, and they need silences. They need to grow and develop free of the very strange impact of notoriety. You know, Jack, Motown, if you think back to your childhood,
mm-hmm.
think about third grade, fourth grade,
mm-hmm.
how the words of one of your school chums could hurt you. They would point out your ears were too big, or you wore glasses, or you were too fat, or you were too thin. All of us are sensitive to these things.
Yeah.
And when you blow this up into the cover of National Enquirer, mm-hmm. you are asking for trouble.
Wow.
And you know, the trick, though, and it's important that I say this, a child exposed to even the most difficult circumstances,
mm-hmm.
if they have a good set of parents, they can get through it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have a good set of parents, if they seek out the advice of other kids who have gone through it,
mm-hmm.
they can learn the steps they need to take to at least have a productive and well-balanced life as an adult. And isn't that really our job when it comes to children? It's not to make successful tennis stars or quarter milers or football players. It's to raise a child in such a way that they can become well-balanced and productive adults.
Yes, yes, and I am with you 100%. Let's talk about now, you have some long-term goals, and it has a lot to do with the child labor laws. Can you expound on that?
Sure. I've already mentioned that children at a federal level are exempt from child labor laws if they're in the entertainment or sports business.
Mm-hmm.
I want to close that loophole. You know how when you go to a movie about mm-hmm. a racehorse or a goat, at the end of the movie it says, no animal was killed or injured in the making of this movie.
Mm.
Well, I want the laws to have the same impact for kids as we have for animals. I want the laws to be uniform, no matter where you film your movie or tape your television show. I want the laws to be age-appropriate. I want every kid to have a portion of their income set aside in a trust fund, and
mm-hmm.
I want somebody on that working set or field that can guarantee that the child is treated fairly. In California, we have a thing called a set teacher, a studio teacher,
mm-hmm.
and in law, that person is charged with taking care of the health, safety, and morals of the minor. But it's only in California where a studio teacher is mandated.
Mm.
That's just foolishness. The rules should be the same whether you're working in Iowa or Texas or Florida or California. Limited hours. You know, one of the things that happened, and I think this galvanized the community here of former kid stars, was we started to see Hollywood hiring premature babies who were still 10, 11 weeks short of their due date, because Hollywood likes to hire, you know, triplets and quadruplets, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
Because, you know, babies are kind of tough to employ. Well, the trouble is, a baby who is 10 weeks premature isn't up to this. And it took us just under 90 days to first inform the legislators in California Assembly about the practice and to get the law written and signed by the governor so that Hollywood couldn't hire preemies. Now, isn't that ridiculous? In your life, you would never go, your neighbor wouldn't put their children up for sale when they're 10 weeks short of their due date and just out of an incubator. But it happens in Hollywood. Well, not anymore. We passed the law.
Yeah, we are passing the laws. And I want you to share in a few moments, I'm going to take this call, and how everyone can help and how everyone can contribute, because I know there's more than one way. But we're going to take this call right now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Motown Maurice. I have Paul Peterson on the line, and we're about to take a call from area code 541. You are on the line right now. What's your question or your comment? Hello?
Yeah, hello, hello.
Yes.
Oh, we skipped.
Oh, sorry. Hi, this is Bonnie. I forgot the phone was muted. I apologize.
Well, welcome.
I know that your primary concern is for children in the entertainment industry and sports, but it's my understanding that a lot of the people currently in Congress are working towards changing the child labor laws back to what they were back in the 1800s.
Newt Gingrich actually came out and said child labor laws aren't necessary. I'm going, excuse me? Where do you think the principle of emancipation, which, by the way, was the right of the king, where do you think that came from? You know, in this country right now, one teenager dies every week at work. Now that, you know, at work, we understand that you don't hand the keys to your car to a 10-year-old. And yet children that young and younger are working in our agricultural fields, in our packing houses. They're working at electronics companies. They're working in the textile business. Excuse me. Some of these things are darn dangerous. I mean, children in the coal mines, we know that there are people who will take advantage of the labor force. We know it. We've known it for 200 years. In fact, this is the 200th anniversary of the first comprehensive child labor laws, which came about in England in 1811, when children were being killed and maimed in the coal mines. But there is, you're right, a movement in this country to do without child labor laws, as if, you know, children are in all of their innocence, can go off to work, never get hurt, never be exploited, and come home and dutifully hand their money to their parents. This is wrongheaded. And it's not just America. 250 million children go to work every day on planet Earth. 250 million. You read about it all the time. The children who pick our chocolate, the children, child soldiers, the children working in textile mills in India and Pakistan. Well, guess what, folks? Either we're going to be a modern society and take care of each other in the absence of parental care, or we might as well just blow it all up, because these kids are being damaged.
Yep. Well, thank you for your question.
Yes, thank
you. All right, God bless. Thanks for the show.
And God bless you, too.
Thank you very much. You know, as you're talking, and, you know, we mentioned a lot, you just gave a worldwide perspective on the issues that's going on right now. How does all these child labor working issues tie into the situations that's going on at the universities, Penn State and Syracuse? How, you know, expound on that, your views and how you feel about it.
Motown, it's as if the pedophiles have come out of the closet through organizations like NAMBLA, you know, the National Association of Man-Boy Love Association. These people believe that children can be sexual objects and no harm done.
Wow.
And we are, this was a giant secret for many years within families where there were incestuous practices, and mm-hmm. And rightly, the culture wants this to stop, but there are pockets of pedophiles, frankly, all over, and wherever you see children, if organized sports, organized religion, the entertainment business, there are people engaged in, say, coaching duties or the priesthood or as music teachers, dance teachers, some of whom do not have the best interests of the child at heart. They actually lust after them. And Penn State is particularly galling to me because apparently this conduct was widely known, and people turned the other way.
Wow. You know, we don't have much time on the show, but everything you're saying is so on point, and I know that we have a lot of people listening, and people want to contribute. People want to be a part of the cause, and I'm sure that this is new, you know, the way you're presenting this information is a newfound perspective for many. So people want to be a part. So how can someone contribute and make a difference?
Well, if you'd go to a Minor Considerations website, you'll get a lot of information. And that's www.minorcon, that's MINORCON as in Nora, .org. We're a 501c3. There's a place to click if you want to make a donation. But most of all, I ask people to please get informed. Stop thinking that this is okay or that everything has been handled in the entertainment business. It hasn't been. We have work to do, and we should be about the business of raising the best kids we can.
Yes, yes, yes. Can you mention the website one more time for those who
sure.
missed it?
Sure. It's minorcon.org, www.minorcon.org. Of course, you can always Google Paul Peterson, and believe me, you'll find me.
Yes, 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 yes. Now, this has been a very serious issue. At the same time, on a lighter note, you have a lot of exciting things going on in your life, and if I can take the time out to mention that you have the fourth season of the Donna Reed Show coming out. Is that our
show? Yes, it's coming out on DVD just in time for Christmas, and we're actually going to be holding an event December 6th at the Paley Museum in Beverly Hills, kind of a reunion of those of us who are still alive after all of these years. And I know there's a great hue and cry out there for old-fashioned, good-time entertainment from the golden era of Hollywood, and we are very excited about this. Shelley Fabre is going to be there. She was Mary on the Donna Reed Show, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Wow, that sounds so exciting. That sounds so, I mean, you must have some of the best memories from the Donna Reed Show. Did you learn
I have wonderful memories. I do. And part of my passion comes from this feeling that why didn't everybody have a good time? Why do we have so many suicides and broken lives? Why are the headlines year after year after year filled with the news of kid stars who've gone bad, when we can fix it?
Yeah.
Motown, we can fix this.
We can fix it, and we're going to fix it together. You know, I want to acknowledge Marlene from Ohio. She had asked about how to go about making a donation. That's why I asked that question earlier. But then also I got a comment, an email from Gary Collins from Ypsilin, Michigan. And he wants to know, it was Donna like a big helper to you? Was she good at giving you advice?
Oh, my goodness,
hard
yes.
lesson? Really?
No. From me in Gardena to Ypsilanti, let me tell you, if you are lucky enough to work with a wonderful person like Donna Reed or like Melissa Gilbert on Little House in the Prairie, when your adult stars are concerned about the person inside the actor, you're in good shape. Michael Landon was wonderful to Melissa Gilbert and the other kids on the show, like Alison Arngrim, et cetera. But if you don't have a concerned and caring person that is playing your mother or the star of the show, you can be at risk. And Donna Reed was wonderful. You know, she was an Iowa farm girl, the oldest of five children, who came up through the Depression and did good. And she was a wonderful mentor.
Wow. Wow, that is amazing. I mean, it seems like you've had great people around you for a long period of time. If I'm not mistaken, one of the greatest advices that you received was to leave town. You left Hollywood for like 25 years. Mickey Rooney gave you that advice?
Absolutely. He invited himself to my home, and he actually sat me down on my couch, uninvited.
How old were you at the time? How old were you at the time?
Let's see. This was 1969, so I was 24 years old and already having trouble in my life. Mm-hmm. And he said, Paul, you have got to get out of town, get your education, find something else to do, because they're not going to let you work. Mm-hmm. And it happened to him. It happened before him to Jackie Coogan. It's been happening in the entertainment business for 9 decades.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, I didn't always listen to the good people around me. most of my troubles were of my own making. Like other people out there, just because you hear good advice doesn't mean you're going to take it. And
yeah.
I made my share of mistakes. But, you know, you get older, you get wiser, and at least in this industry,
mm-hmm.
I and my fellow kid stars, and there's about 600 of us in a minor consideration,
wow.
We kind of know what we're talking about, you know? We've been there. We've
mm-hmm.
got the T-shirt.
Yes, yes. Well, Paul Peterson, you are a great man for humanity. You're doing great things for children. I love your organization, and I hope that everyone listening plays a role, makes a donation. I have to be a part of this now because this is important. You know, I've always envisioned growing up as a kid. Before I got into, entertainment and stuff, I always like, wow, I want to have a family just like the Jackson 5. I want to have five kids and have them be the next generation Jackson 5, but... You know, over time when you get older and you realize, wow, that's a lot of pressure to put on kids to be the next generation Jackson 5. But
that's exactly right.
So, you know, that's not priority in my life right now. But if it does come back into my mind and, you know, I meet the right person, it's time to have kids, I know exactly how to approach it because I'm talking to you. I've met you and you're teaching me so much along the way.
We are accessible. If parents have any doubts or concerns,
uh-huh.
that's what we do. We give counsel. There's no fee for our services. And
wow.
we have stepped into real messy situations to try to straighten them out. And we never say, I told you so. What
yeah.
we really ask people to do is get informed. Because once you see the world for the way it is when it comes to being a child, you will be self-motivated to go out there and help.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've certainly enjoyed this our conversation today.
Yes, 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 indeed. I've enjoyed it so much. One more time, give them that website so they can contact you.
Right, minorcon.org. You can Google Paul Peterson or look for a minor consideration. It's www.minorcon.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Paul Peterson is on the line. You know, I know you have to go. We both have to go. But I do have one more question if you can just fit in. Hopefully it wouldn't be a problem. Just one more question.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right. And that question is, would you happen to know who's the future of late night television?
Well, it's got to be Motown Maurice.
All right. Mr. Peterson, thank you so much. You are excellent. You are a great man. Thank you for all that you are doing. And I will definitely be in contact with you in terms of your accomplishment. And we're going to band together to make sure these laws are established. Thank you so much, and you have a good one.
Thank you.
You take care. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Motown Maurice. What a show. Make sure you check out this show again and again in the archives because the information is information that you need to know, that you need to pass on to your family, your friends, and make sure that their children are treated properly and they don't become a victim to society by the time they grew up. There's a chapter of Paul's life that he didn't even mention when he was in his 20s. He was on drugs. He was on alcohol. He associated with the wrong people. But as you can see, he is a success story, and his success is impacting the lives of children today. This is Motown Maurice signing out. Make sure you check out my website, MotownMaurice.com, as you follow the quest of a late night talk show host. Thank you. Be blessed. Until next time.